I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. We asked you in our GeoQuiz today about Copernicus. The whereabouts of his grave has been a mystery for centuries. But next week, the 16th century Polish astronomer will finally be laid to rest in a marked grave. Science historian Owen Gingerich will be on hand. He's professor emeritus of astronomy at Harvard University. And Professor Gingerich, where is this ceremony to reinter the remains of Copernicus taking place?
It will be in Frombork, very far north in Poland, and that's where Copernicus spent a good fraction of his working life and where he wrote his famous De Revolutionibus, the modern blueprint for the solar system.
So Frombork, Poland is the answer to our GeoQuiz. Why did it take so long for Poland to mark Copernicus's final resting place?
He was, according to tradition, buried someplace in the vicinity of the altar in the cathedral that he had charge of. The grave somehow wasn't marked, and about 5 years ago, Polish archaeologists led by Jerzy Gosowski found scattered bones of an elderly man, and Copernicus was 70 years old when he died, so they thought they had found the right bones.
And how do they know for sure?
They really wanted to get a DNA sample. So it was an interesting coincidence when Gosowski was giving a talk in Sweden, mentioned how much they would like to get some DNA, and somebody in the audience remembered during the 30 Years' War, Copernicus's library and the cathedral library had been captured and taken to Sweden. So one of the books that Copernicus annotated was still there in Uppsala. They looked in it. They found 9 hairs. 2 of them matched the DNA from a tooth in the cranium. So they're pretty sure they've got their man.
Quite a big deal for science historians. What is your own interest, Professor Gingerich, in traveling to Poland?
I've been interested in Copernicus. I've chased all over the world looking for copies of his book to look at what people had written in the margins. How was it being interpreted in the 16th century? Eventually, I almost had an obsession in trying to find all the possible copies. I've actually looked at nearly 600 copies.
I mean, it's an intense fascination, and you said obsession yourself. Was there anything that really kind of fascinated you or you found surprising?
There's so little biographical information about Copernicus known. We know where he worked in various parts of Poland, and we know he went to Italy, but Copernicus was always sort of a two-dimensional cardboard figure to me until I had a chance to look at those books from his library. And then seeing his handwriting in them somehow made him a much more real person. So I found those books very inspiring.
And yet you refer to On the Revolutions of the Celestial Spheres, his book, as the book nobody read. Why is that?
I was using that expression ironically, because that's how the novelist Arthur Koestler described it, an all-time worst seller, he said. And I guess he thought that once the idea of the Earth moving and going around the sun in its annual orbit was so obvious that everybody should have said, yes, that's the truth, why it missed it so long. And that's not what happened. People thought it was completely ridiculous if the Earth was spinning around every 24 hours. Why didn't people fly off? And so it wasn't accepted as a real description for some generations.
Owen Gingerich, Professor Emeritus of Astronomy and History of Science at Harvard, thanks very much for speaking with us, and safe travels.
Sure. Bye-bye.